This is Carl Thomas, and you're listening to the Tomorrow's Leaders podcast. And with me today is another rising star, Richard. Thanks for joining me.
Great. Thanks, Carl. Great to be here.
Can you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure. So, Richard Brazier. I work at AXA Investment Managers. I've been there about 3.5 years, and that's sort of my first foray into the property industry. Before that, I actually worked at JP Morgan in asset and wealth management for a couple of years. And that was really across all asset classes, so equities, fixed income, real estate, hedge funds. And I found my niche of real estate in that department and sort of wanted to go into that full time. And the right opportunity at AXA came across when I was looking and been in there ever since.
Why property?
I think for me, and actually JP Morgan was a great start to the world of finance in particular, and being able to work across different asset classes. A lot of those are very numerical led, which inevitably means spending a lot of time in front of a computer, plotting spreadsheets, looking at financial results, looking at graphs, etc. The thing about property is that it's tangible, and particularly development is great because you're coming up with concepts, with ideas, you're able to go and visit sites, you're able to go and touch it and feel it. And for me, that makes all the difference. And obviously our role at AXA, we're investment managers, so we still have the spreadsheet side of things and we still have the financial reporting, as you'd expect anywhere. But being able to really interact with your investment and to go and look at the vision and work with that day to day is really unique to property. And for me, that made all the difference.
And you're now working on a master's in real estate.
I finished that 2 weeks ago. So I'm about to go and enjoy the summer. But really, so the master's was really my way of looking at my background of non-traditional property and thinking how I could go about getting some sort of formal qualification. So it was a two-year master's. It was at Cambridge University. Cambridge have always had a full-time master's in real estate finance. And I was the first cohort on their new part-time program, which is really for people who are already working within the industry, who want to get more of a formal property qualification. And it's sort of tied in with Judge Business School, so it's got the MBA crossover as well, to an extent. And for me, that was something that I wanted to do to, I guess, personally boost my credentials, but also get a fundamental understanding of the real estate basics that I was perhaps lacking before that.
Is this what you imagined you'd be doing when you were 10, 15 years old?
To be honest, in a strange way, property is where I thought I'd be. So I guess like a lot of people in the industry, my father's actually in real estate as well. So he's been on the residential side his whole career. So I grew up in sort of hard hats and high-vis jackets, being... I guess at one point dragged along to these sites at the weekend against my will, but sort of slowly and surely I developed a, you know, real interest in the property industry from the ground up level and sort of saw what he was doing and saw, you know, the benefits of being in the industry and what that involved. So ironically, I think my first career was kind of a rebellion against that and saying that, no, I'm not going to follow in my father's footsteps and I want to carve my own path out. And then obviously I did 2 years of that and then ended up in real estate. So it's funny how these things sort of shift around and end up.
Did he ever give you any morsels of wisdom that stick with you? Or did he ever say, you know, you're in property now, this is everything you need to know?
He tries to. I think the residential side and the commercial side are different in the way they operate. And it's obviously the same fundamentals of... and particularly in development, you find a plot of land, you go through feasibility analysis, you come up with a vision and you put something on it. But I guess particularly what we're doing at AXA, so our big team is 22 Bishopsgate, which is obviously 60-story tower. Big city development project is very different to a regional residential project. So I think he likes to think that he knows more about what I do than I'd let on. But it's still interesting having conversations with him and getting his side of things and his viewpoints as well.
What is it like being, you know, relatively young in an industry that is known for being, you know, an old white man's game in some ways, you know, rightly or wrongly?
You know, I think the current time is probably the most interesting period to be, you know, as you say, a relatively young person in the industry. I think, as you say, on the one hand, you've still got that stereotype of, you know, the old white men who sort of rule the roost. I think on the other side, you've got these very interesting companies. And I mean, take a lot of my fellow rising star cohorts. There's a lot of young people who I think can increasingly make a difference in the industry, whether it's either starting up their own company. So a lot of people in the prop tech space are doing that. But more importantly, I think there's a shift within the corporations and the larger companies realizing that that young people can make a difference. And I don't think that's just real estate. I think that's very industry-wide and very broad in general. So particularly if you take the, I guess, what's now a sort of 15, 20-year industry, the Silicon Valley type mentality of you don't have to be in your 40s or 50s to be leading a company and to be going to do new things. You can be in your 20s, your 30s and make a real impact and actually have a big sort of meaningful leadership position. So I think there's a big shift in our industry. I think it's a great time to be young in the sector and up and coming and sort of challenging the norms and the status quo. Mm-hmm.
So in some ways there are opportunities in both pursuing your own startup thing or going to larger corporates. Both of those options give you opportunities.
No, 100%.
In your line of work, in development specifically, what are you looking for in the industry over the next 5 to 10 years? What are the big changes that you're preparing for?
So I think within development and perhaps the office sector more broadly, I think the big fundamental change that landlords will have to embrace is how we treat our customers, so our tenants, and how that shifting landscape will change. So I guess if you think traditionally and how the industry's worked for the last 40, 50 years, if not longer, you would ideally like to get a 10 or 15 year lease to a large corporate, you'd hand them the keys, and then you'd come back in 10, 15 years time and release it to someone else. I think the way the industry is going and the way that we're looking at a lot of our tenants within our developments is that we have to treat them a lot more like a customer would be treated in a retail sense or even in sort of the hotel sense of it's a daily customer as opposed to someone that you give the keys and forget about, so to speak, for 10, 15 years. So for us, it's about learning how we service that customer and how we interact with that customer as the landlord. And that may mean putting certain amenities in our buildings. It may mean working with them on a more flexible basis. It may mean that we as the landlord actually implement various events in buildings, and we're a lot more operational than we used to be. And that will shift. That will increasingly shift in the next 5 to 10 years from that old traditional model of sort of keys and throwaway to we have to be a daily part, or perhaps not a daily part, but a weekly part of our tenants' life cycle.
So now that it's the summer and you finished your master's, what are you going to do? What do you do to get away from everything?
That is a good question, because for the last 2 years, I've sort of been in this dual role of going to work and then going home and studying. So as I said earlier, I finished this master's 2 weeks ago, so I'm in this very new landscape of I've got free time now, and what do I do? Which is great, but at the same time, I sort of need to figure out what I should be doing outside of work.
What do you even like? You can't even remember that.
almost, but I used to be a big tennis player, so one of my things is to really try and take up tennis again and sort of bring back the competitive streak that I once had in the game. And I'm sure I'd be very rusty getting back into it at the start, but it's something I used to play a lot of and would love to get back into. So that's on my checklist at the moment.
Does that competitive streak run into your professional life?
I think so, in a way. And I wouldn't say professional as in dog eat dog and I've got to be the sole winner. I think that comes with, you know, a team mentality, and particularly I think particularly the development role is all about working with as many people as possible, from architects on the one hand to investment agents on the other hand and everyone else in between who facilitates that end-to-end process. But does the competitive streak come into that? Of course it does. And I think for me it's all about trying to personally do the best I can do in my career, but also make sure that our developments and that the things that we're working on day-to-day are the best they can be. So 100%.
So what exactly pushes you forward? What inspires you?
In a career sense?
Yeah.
I think really it's trying to push the boundaries a little bit and come up with new concepts and new ideas. And it's really back to what I was talking about how the industry is going to change in 5-10 years. I think, and also how a young person can make an impact. I think a lot of the things that real estate is, or the directions that real estate is going, haven't been done before. And so whether I try and do it as someone still in my 20s, or whether one of my colleagues who's in his 50s or her 50s tries to do it, we're both at the same starting block. So in terms of opportunities to try and find what the next big thing is and how the industry is going to move, I think personally from my point of view, there's a huge opportunity to go and do that. And that really drives me at the moment. It's trying to find how real estate goes from its current state into, you know, a future model of being, I think what Anthony Sumler's called space as a service. And this whole idea of prop tech and the future of real estate and new ways of working and all these buzzwords, and they are buzzwords at the moment, will eventually become practice. And I think the journey of becoming buzzword to practice will be hugely important over the next few years. And I'm excited about that.
What advice would you give others who are just starting off in real estate? What's the one big lesson you've learned?
I think really it's that you don't have to, and it's ironic that I say this having finished off my master's, but really to succeed in the industry, you don't have to have gone through the traditional route, and you don't have to have got your sort of real estate degree and then done your APC and gone that way. There are a lot of really successful people in the industry who've come from a complete non-real estate background. A lot of them in the prop tech side will come from software engineering backgrounds, but even people in the traditional real estate industries haven't necessarily had that traditional background. So I think my advice to young people starting out is don't panic if you haven't come from that background. You can make just as much of an impact, if not more of an impact, from perhaps having started in a different career path or having had a different university experience, or even no university experience, and you can get to the same place, if not further, than someone who has.
And because this is a Rising Stars podcast, we need to throw in a few stars puns. When you're playing tennis, what's your favorite warm-up, and is it star jumps?
My favorite warm-up, it could be star jumps. Maybe I should try that, and then I get back into it. It hasn't been star jumps to date. My favorite warm-up to tennis is probably more tennis, so I'm not sure I have a proper routine there.
Well, but maybe we star figured jumps, one out now.
Maybe star jumps will be the future of my routine.
Good. So if you win EG's Rising Stars, what's next after that?
You know, I think it's just continuing to do what I'm doing at the moment, which is really sort of solidifying my career and creating my own career path. I think my current company is a great platform to do that, and we've got really exciting projects going on at the moment. We've got really interesting ideas as to the way we're going to go in the future, in many different paths. So really for me, it's just continuing to do that and continuing to push the boundaries a little bit with regards to what traditional people in traditional backgrounds say compared to what the other possibilities are in the future. So really it's do much the same.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you very much.